Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. A fun Saturday. We'll be a little Tampa Bay Downs-centric at the beginning, but a little bit later on, Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs will join us. Derby Future Pool, Oaks Future Pool wind up tomorrow afternoon. So we'll talk a little bit about what you might want to look for in those wagers. That's coming up a little bit later on. But as I say, we'll start out talking the big day down at Tampa. And once again, I am envious. It's been too long since I visited one of my favorite tracks. But we're talking live at Tampa with our friend Ren Carruthers, who you can catch doing the pregame show and the paddock commentary as well. And so, again, we will live vicariously through Ren. Ren, good morning.
Good morning. We miss you out here. It is a gorgeous day, and the Oldsmar Oval looks ready and primed for this afternoon's 12 race cards.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Again, I really enjoy Tampa, and this is the big day, and it is a really nice day. Nice undercard of stakes, nice undercard of non-stakes races as well. And you've kind of already given us a hint. I was going to ask you the weather, but it sounds like it's going to wind up to be a nice day down there.
Oh, it's gorgeous out here right now. Just gorgeous.
That is clearly what we like to hear. All right, let's jump in. And, oh, before I do that, we were talking before we went on the air, and I know a few weeks ago in kind of the preview card, you were kind of sharing thoughts in the paddock with Barry Spears, and I understand Barry's going to be down there again with you today?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's going to be meeting me over here any minute now, actually.
Very good. Barry, of course, folks are familiar with him on Twitter, but also he does a podcast with our friend, an upstate New York native, former trainer Chuck Simon. So be interesting to hear you guys trading thoughts again today. But let's get some thoughts from you this morning looking at this afternoon. Let's kind of work our way back from the Tampa Bay Derby. I handicapped this on our handicapping show earlier. I'm taking a flyer in here with Prairie Hawk on the outside for Safi Joseph. I'm going to draw a line through the Sam Davis. I hate the post position, but I think the horse is potentially interesting at a price. That said, we're going to take a look at the February 4th race from Tappet Trice. Tappet Trice is clearly going to be the horse to beat in here, and it's just going to be exciting to see what he can do in his stakes debut. What do you see in the Tampa Bay Derby?
Well, I think Tappet Trice is the logical winner here. I mean, he's done very little wrong, and I love that, you know, out of that you know, that race, he puts in, you know, that eight-length score there, right? He did over his own stable mate. I mean, this was a horse that just looks like, you know, he's been primed to run a big race here today. That being said, you know, to your point about Prairie Hawk, I will tell you, I was talking to Sammy Camacho yesterday, and he told me to draw a line through that last race. He said his horse, right before the gate opened, he had kind of lowered his head toward the stalled doors, and then, boom, they open, and it just, you know, had so many problems there that he thought that the horse really just didn't have his chance to run. So, yeah, I mean, Prairie Hawk is definitely a horse that has a big opportunity here, and it is also worth noting that his half-brother Quip won this race back in the day. So, yeah, I would say, though, for myself, if it's not going to be Tappet Trice, I think Classic Legacy is a horse that can move up second off the layoff. Second Star is a three-year-old. I think he's another one that's just starting to blossom. He debuted back in August at Saratoga. Perhaps he wasn't ready then. Then when he ran it, you know, in October at Belmont, he was second, first off that bench, seven furlongs, far outside post, finished ahead better than Classic Catch. That's maybe seen some of those company lines there with the other horses. And I did think that the fact that he ran within 2 3/4 lengths of Litigate in the Sam F. Davis after not having run since that main special weight, I thought that was pretty impressive, especially because if you go back and you watch the start of that race, he got bumped out of the gate. So that's a horse that I'm looking at as the potential upsetter, but I did back Tappet Trice ultimately.
Yeah, again, he's clearly the one to beat in here. But I thought the first three races were one-turn miles. If you're going to take a shot against, maybe this first time around two turns is the place to do it. I have him right underneath. I thought Classic Car Wash was a little bit interesting as well as at a price. But, boy, it is a fun addition this afternoon of the Tampa Bay Derby. Let's go one race earlier and take a look at the Florida Oaks, three-year-old fillies on the turf. And I pulled up a replay here. Going back to Saratoga, September 4th, we are going to watch the win by Free Look. This was the maiden breaker and the second career start for Chad and Klarovich. The last start for this horse was a fifth-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, but does come back off a little bit of a layoff, and a lot of times these lightly raced runners can come back for Chad and run even better. And, again, we're looking at the stretch run here to the maiden breaker of Free Look up at Saratoga, which looked pretty good. I will say, when you look at the trouble lines, I get a little worried when you see bump, bump, bump. I start to think, I wonder if this horse is just trouble prone. But I'm going to tilt towards Free Look. I think Alphabella for Pletcher is interesting. Dreaming of Snow, the local runner, I think could be intriguing moving to the turf. What are your thoughts on the Florida Oaks?
Well, I mean, you hit on a lot of the things that I think make a lot of sense here in this race. Regarding Free Look, I'll say the replay that really catches your eye is that last out there in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, she just got swallowed up in traffic there in the stretch, and yet she still continued on. That was pretty gutty, I thought, of her. But I'm going to try to beat her. I went with the number three on top, Alphabella. This horse is a half-sister to Adina Del Sur, who won the 2018 Florida Oaks. She was just also her sister, just a length beaten in the 2020 Grade 3 Endeavor. So, she's got a family member who loves her turf course. The mom herself was a stakes winner on grass and just a halfling shy being a graded stakes winner. Now, Alphabella herself, she's been pretty slick in her two grass starts, both of which were run with the blinkers, whereas the dirt starts, she was run with Southdown. She won in that first turf try, the sixth place well into. That horse was a next out winner for Jonathan Thomas, wired a maiden special weight field by 2.5 lengths at Gulfstream. And that was over a next out winner in Mademoiselle Jackie. And then last out, Alphabella, she came out just a 3/4 of a length shy, holding off the closing Cairo Consort in the sweetest chant. And Cairo Consort, I mean, to be fair, she tossed her head at the start of that race. She came running from last and nabbed that win to make it back-to-back scores because she had, previously won the Ginger Brew in her first start for Todd Fletcher. She's been in with good horses. And, talk about Cairo Consort also. I mean, last out that horse just missed Dance Macabre there in the Grade 3, Here Comes the Bride. So the fact that this filly, it's good company. She's a horse, that this is just going to be the third start of her career on turf. I mean, sixth career start ultimately, but she's also getting first-time LASIK today as well. And you got Luis Saez aboard. So that's my top pick.
And I have no arguments. I have her right underneath. And, yeah, Cairo Consort just freaked that day. So to be a close-up second, I think, was kind of flattering for Alphabella. All right, now I'm really intrigued because before we went on the air, I said, what do you have? What kind of ideas? And you said you might have had a little bit of a price idea in the third. And, again, we just wrapped up our handicapping show, and I took a shot in the third race as well. It looks like the kind of race where you can. I went with Fast Fixer on the outside where I thought there was a little bit of breeding that may mitigate the poor performance in the debut effort. So I'm with number 10, Fast Fixer, at 30-1. If you have that one, I'll be shocked. But if you don't have that one, I may have an exacta box. So give me your thoughts in the third today. Nice little maiden special weight event.
Well, my top pick in here is King Miano for Kathleen O'Connell, who's, by the way, just one away from tying Kim Hammond for being the most winningest female trainer in North America. But King Miano, I mean, I was talking to Hector Diaz yesterday because I told him I love your horse in the third race tomorrow. And he said, this horse is showing speed without him even asking. And that was just the debut. So the fact that he flashed this speed going 7 furlongs in that main 32, got out there, was, in front by a length going through. And then he eventually did tire. I mean, he was going pretty on his clip, 22-2, 45-2. I think this is a horse that could be much more dangerous here now, second time with that fitness, that experience now. I love the pedigree. You know me, I'm going to talk to you about pedigree. This is we're cutting back to now 6 furlongs today. And this horse, first of all, I'll go to the running line. I mean, Lookin' Super, who ended up winning that main 32, he was tracking King Miano. He had previously run third to Dropkick Murphy and Toxic Gray. I think we all know Toxic Gray at this point. because he went on to score two in a row at Aqueduct pretty impressively. But now going to the pedigree of King Miano himself, I mean, check it out. The mom, she hasn't produced a wow horse yet, but she is a half-sister to champion sprinter Artax, okay? Artax. So that's good enough for me. And like I said, the fact that this horse now has race experience, real race experience, did it honestly, is now turning back to six furlongs. I think he is live.
Yeah, well, I will say I like it because I had King Miano in the third spot, and I'm planning to box up. I've got a 30-1. I put all our money 3-1 in the second slot, and King Miano a 10-1. So I'm going to do a little box in here, and I'll be rooting for yours to maybe come in and make things kind of interesting to start the day. It is a really, really fun card. Oh, and I'm glad you mentioned Kathleen O'Connell, because on the handicapping show earlier, my co-host and I were kind of debating. I wasn't sure whether she'd broken the record or not, because it was about 2 weeks ago the articles came out that she was moving towards that. So she's still one away?
Right. She's one away from tying, two away from eclipsing.
Ah, nice. So that would make for a really nice day for her if she could get one or two on Tampa Bay Derby Day. That's another storyline we'll have to watch on the afternoon. But, Ren, we always appreciate the visit, the thoughts on Tampa. I will tell people to tune in during the afternoon and watch you and Barry giving some of the paddock commentary as well. Give my best to everybody down in Tampa, and have fun.
Oh, thank you so much, Seth. We wish you were here, but, you know, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Appreciate it. Ren Carruthers, again, you can watch her this afternoon giving the paddock commentary on a big day at Tampa Bay Downs. Looking forward to it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, some news and notes. A little bit later, Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs with the Derby and Oaks Future Pools coming up this weekend. All of that and more right after this. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. The stakes schedule was announced the other day for the Saratoga meet. A few minor changes. I mean, things got juggled around dates-wise and whatnot. The most notable, I guess, was the New York bred card that typically had been the day before the Travers is now the day after the Travers. The Travers Festival. Going to have nine stakes, including six grade ones, that'll go from Wednesday through Saturday. So they changed up that Friday a little bit to include that. But again, these New York bred stakes still Travers weekend and the day after on Sunday. So it wasn't a super big change there. The Travers Day card feature five grade one stakes. The Sword Dancer and the Ballerina will have win in your in berths to the Breeders' Cup. They'll also have the Forgo on the card, the Allen Jerkins, and, of course, the Travers itself. Just always a blockbuster card. And, again, day after will be those New York breds. And that's always a fun card, too. The New York bred program has become strong enough over the period of time that these New York bred stakes days offer horses that have kind of moved in and out of open stakes company, but these big New York bred stakes days, the purses are lucrative enough that you get those horses and they're facing off against each other. They're fun races, and so that day after the Travers will offer some fun, obviously, as well. Whitney Day on August 5th, there's a trio of grade ones. The Whitney, the Saratoga Derby Invitational. The day will also include the Troy, which has now become, a couple of years ago, that became a graded stakes race as well. So again, the Saturdays are typically in the big Saturdays, Whitney and Travers, certainly always big days. First Saturday of the season, the grade one Diana will kick things off. That's July 15th. So again, the stakes schedule for Saratoga has come out. Oh, and one other thing I should note, and this is nice. Stakes race late in the season that was formerly called the Lucky Coin has been renamed for Harvey Pack. You got to love that. Folks my age certainly remember and fondly remember Harvey Pack. When cable TV first came to upstate New York, WOR from New York City, Channel 9 was part of the package, and you had the Naira recap show, and on Saturdays, Frank Wright and Charles C. Canty and Dave Johnson, but the Naira recap show featured Harvey Pack, and you got the replays every night, and Harvey throwing up the program, may the horse be with you, and I'm sure he pulled in a lot of people, which is noted in the press release that was sent out. I quote, at Naira, Pack created and hosted racing replay shows like Thoroughbred Action and Inside Racing, and as its director of promotions and special events, he created and hosted the Paddock Club at Belmont and Saratoga, which again was another notable Harvey Pack appearance. His pregame handicapping show over at Ciro's for many, many years. Eventually it moved over to the track, Harvey Pack, a integral part of New York racing, certainly, and fitting that he has a stakes race named after him, and fitting that it's a New York stakes race. So again, that was kind of a fun note on the stakes schedule as well. I mentioned earlier on the handicapping show some of the leaderboard for the NHC, which is this week, and I will also tout you, our friend Steve Bick covers it with his radio show, which it's not really his radio show, because I'm virtually certain it's not a Sirius XM. I think it's internet only, but if you type Steve Bick into Google and find his website and click the Listen Live button, you can check in. So, you know, if you're watching me on the TV this afternoon, you have your computer open to make some bets, open another browser window and listen to me. And then when I'm not on, pull up a little Steve Bick, because it's always fun. He's out there. And you think, I've said this many times before, you think radio show at a handicapping contest, how is that good radio? But it's always entertaining. When I got home yesterday, I listened to a little bit of the end of it, day one at the NHC. And these are the top. We had a great time. I miss the fact that we don't go out there and cover it. We were out there for a couple of years. These are the biggest players in the country, the smartest to some extent, you could say, and a lot of fun to talk to. And again, when we were out there, we'd have these folks sitting in, the Matisse brothers and Marshall Graham and Rich Averill sat in with us at one point and more, and some locals as well. And that was always fun, to kind of go out there and follow folks from this upstate New York area. And typically there's a nice bunch of them. And we'll go down the list. And tomorrow we'll have a better idea of, cut line and who makes it to Sunday. And we'll go through on tomorrow's show, maybe point out some of the locals we can root for on Sunday. Hopefully a number of them do make it through. But I mentioned it earlier, one of our buddies, A.J. Benton, as I said, we met him when we were out at Vegas, the last time, 3 or 4 years ago. But AJ lives in Massachusetts. He has become a really prominent contest player. big fan of the game, and he spends a week in Saratoga every year. And so we've had him on the show maybe the past three summers, actually. I was thinking the past two. But going back to pandemic year, we interviewed him across the street at the Horseshoe because people weren't allowed on track. But again, he's just a regular guy to talk to, but very clever contest player. And if you recognize the name and remember him being on the show, you've got a little rooting interest maybe. As A.J. Benton, number two after day one. I texted him and said, keep it going. And he was pretty happy with the results of day one. Again, these are mythical bets. There are mandatory races each day, and then there are optional races. The leader, Francis Boustany, I've read he's a retired dentist from Louisiana, I believe. He has $149. A.J. Benton's at $135, but he's sitting number two on the list. That's fairly impressive. And I mentioned also, I'm just going to go down the list to make sure. Yeah, Kevin Cox, Brooklyn Cowboy, who, of course, does some of the promotional bankrolls with us. Kevin Cox, $102, sitting at number 24. And the field, if I'm remembering correctly, I think there was 770-some. So you're sitting number 24 after day one. That's a pretty good day one. So, again, a lot of fun out there. What happens is today they will, again, yesterday was a little funny because if you didn't see with the weather out in Southern California has just been kind of crazy. And I watched the national weather yesterday. They're calling it like a rain river or something. There's something in the atmosphere that came in and, again, hit California yesterday. So Santa Anita canceled yesterday and Golden Gate canceled yesterday. Well, typically, you know, they're out in Vegas, so they're on Vegas time. So typically, as you get to around, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock dinner time-ish out there, they're shifting over to focus on California racing. Well, there was no California racing, so they got done a little early, and they lost the California option. So they lost about 16 possible races. So they had a menu that was a little bit condensed yesterday. That'll change, obviously, today. They'll get back to a more regular situation. But what happens is day one, you make your bets. You get on the leaderboard if that's the game plan, and that's the way it works out. Day two, same thing. They'll be playing all day with the mandatories and the optionals and trying to move up. And then at the end of today, there's a cut line. And I think it's the top 10%, if I'm not mistaken. So there'll be about 70-some people that will move into tomorrow. And then on Sunday, they'll go about half the day, maybe a little more than that, amongst those 70-some people. And then the top 10 make the final table. And I want to say the final table is maybe 8 races towards the end of the day, and those 10 folks square off. Top prize in the National Handicapping Championship, $800,000. And really, if you're in the top 10, it's all pretty good. I'm not sure if I was just looking to see here. There was a prize list that I saw earlier. I'm just seeing if I can quickly pull that up, but I don't see. I'm just kind of sorting through the rules here. There we go. Prize structure. Top prize $800,000. Number two, not a bad $250,000. Number three, $200,000. Four, $150,000. Number five, $125,000. So again, the cut line must be 78 because they're showing the prize money on this chart I'm looking at down to number 78. And so if you make the cut line, you're still going to wind up walking away with $12,000. Number 78, $12,000 there. Subsequently, also for folks who don't make the cut line today, there's a little consolation tournament tomorrow. And the winner of that winds up with $10,000. They pay down to 20th there for $1,000. So for the folks who you know don't make it into the action tomorrow, there's that consolation tournament that keeps everybody around. And then typically there's a nice dinner, awards dinner, Sunday night. That's always fun. You get to hear from the players, past winners, and they induct some folks into the Horse Players Hall of Fame. And it's a fun weekend. If you get a chance to play and go, I highly recommend it. I just do not get a chance to play enough contests. A few weeks ago, I played an online contest, and occasionally at the beginning of the day, these pick and pray contests, you just put your entries in and follow along. And I wound up second in a field of about 150, and the winner got to go to Vegas. I was $8 behind in second, a little bit frustrating. But as I say, I think if I played more, I'd have a live chance at getting out there. And I'm going to keep shooting because I'd love to do it. As I say, we covered it a couple of years, and it's a lot of fun because it's a room full of 700 dedicated handicappers and horse players all talking horse racing, having a good time. And it's a competition, but it seems mostly like a friendly competition, and it's a lot of fun. And as they say, you can catch you can get a feel for the atmosphere if you pull up the Bick radio show and check it out over the next couple of days and listen. And he will have, as they say, he cycles in. You think that to hear a handicapping competition on the air, but he pulls over. It's fun to listen to too, because he'll pull over some of the big players and get some of their ideas on races. He's had some former champions who aren't playing this year but have showed up because it's a fun weekend for horse players, and they'll handicap a little bit as well. So fun to listen to, and as they say, fun to go to. And if you haven't tried contests yet, I keep talking about it, and I always tout at Saratoga the low rollers. That's a great way to kind of get started, because when you're doing the handicapping contest, you have to tweak the handicapping a little bit and really search for some value and look around. And the low rollers is a great way to get your feet wet. But now they have some contests online as well that, you know, on a weekly or daily basis you can play into. So those are highly recommended as well. All right. And again, rooting for our friend A.J. Benton, who is, as I say, sitting currently number two, about $14 behind. Yesterday, overall, seemed a little, not chalky, that wouldn't be the right word. There were a couple opportunities people could have, and I think the guys at the top of the list maybe wound up with one or two of those, because there were certainly some races that, I'm just looking, our friend Gary Johnson is playing. He is down the list currently, but if you may remember, we had Gary, a trainer, and at one point, he left training and was just playing contests and came up to Saratoga a couple times, played in the big contest there. We used to have on pretty regularly handicapping, and I'm trying to think. It was one of the Ohio racetracks. We would have him on when we were doing the weekday morning show. We had Gary on pretty regularly. But again, he transitioned over for a while and was just doing the contest, and then subsequently back training. I think he's still back training now, but clearly he's still playing the contest. Because he just, they're cycling through the list here, and his name just came up. Matisse Brothers playing as well. They have a little bit of work to do here on day two. But for folks who are down the leaderboard on day two, some of these people are just keeping their powder dry with their optional wagers. So it'll be fun to see how the leaderboard changes as the afternoon goes along. And speaking of which, if you go to ntra.com, you can pull up the leaderboard, which will be automatically updated throughout the afternoon, and look for some of those locals on here, some of the familiar names to watch and maybe root for, and make the day a little more enjoyable from a different perspective, a human rooting perspective. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as noted, Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs will join us. We'll talk the Derby Future Pool, the Oaks Future Pool. There's also an Oaks Derby Double Future wager. They'll all wrap up at 6:30. I think both of them, sometimes 1:06 and 1:06:30, but I think tomorrow both the Derby and Oaks Future Pool wrap up at 6:30 tomorrow. So we'll get some ideas from Kevin right after this as Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. Yeah. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As touted before the break, Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs joining us now. Talk a little Derby and Oaks future pools. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board because I always play into these future pools, and I tell people you got to shop around for a little bit of value, but normally Derby Day rolls around, and I might have, you know, because I've clicked the All Others button a couple of times and picked a few individuals out, I might have seven or eight horses in the gate, and that offers me some opportunity to maybe play around strategically, so I think they're a lot of fun. Before we get into specifics, talk a little bit about changing up and going to the 40 entries now, which I think, I would guess, are you getting feedback? I think there has to be a positive comment on the expanded field for the future pools.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time coming. We've been trying to do this for several years, and, you know, we're always trying to look at ways to change and improve these wagers and, you know, be on the top of technology. And we finally, you know, sort of got the nod that the technology was there to be able to expand this field to 40 interests. And so, you know, and then, of course, we added a pool this year, too. So, you know, the 39 individual interests plus the number 40 for the all others has certainly, I think, inflated some of the numbers a little bit, which is a good sign for horse players because, you know, the odds and the money are more spread evenly across these interests. And so, you know, in this pool especially, I think you're going to see a little bit more inflated odds, too. You know, because I think as we get closer to the Derby, there's one pool remaining after this. You know, the odds sort of get more true of what they'll be on the first Saturday in May. And so maybe this will be a real, you know, test and indication of what they'll be like come the first Saturday in May, but still allow horse players to get odds that'll be greater than they will on May the 6th.
Yeah, and I always say that, you know, when I talk about this, and again, I talk about it quite a bit when the future pools are open those weekends because I tell people to jump in and have a little bit of fun, but I always say you have to look for some value because you're not only hoping this horse wins the Derby, but he's just got to get into the gate. And one of the horses that obviously is going to attract a lot of attention, I'm going to pull up the video from last week, Forte. I'm applauding. I think it's great for the Derby that the two-year-old champ came back and won the way he did, but I'm just looking at the odds here on the Derby Future Pool website, 7-2, deservedly so, but again, Forte is not one of the horses I'll be looking to play this weekend in the future pool. If I'm going to play him, I'll wait till that first Saturday in May. But as far as what you would recommend folks look for odds-wise, what are you thinking?
You know, if you know, obviously Forte is the horse to beat right now between him and Arabian Nite, and so Arabian Nite's about double the price that he is right now. But I think the value comes if players are looking at either of those two horses that are way short right now to bet maybe as a win option. You can look at exactas. The exacta pools is going to offer more options. You can play an exacta, you know, with any of the other 39 interests with either of those horses. And you can also look at the Oaks Derby future wager double, which will close at 6:30 Eastern on Sunday night. And so, you know, if you like Forte, if you like Arabian Nite, keep an eye on those double wheel pays because that could offer some value that'll be greater than what they are offering right now in this win pool, which I agree with you. You know, there's a lot of tasks ahead of both of these horses, especially, you know, to go into the gate for the first Saturday of May. Any little hiccups in that 3-1 wager, you know, can go out the window. And so You know, Forte is very exciting and very thrilling horse to come back, but he still has a long way to go to reaching the gate for the Kentucky Derby. So that's sort of my wagering strategy in this pool, Seth, is, you know, look at some of these horses and what they're offering in the exacta pool, as well as that Oaks Derby future double, because, you know, it's tough for me as a gambler to take a horse that's, you know, shorter than 20-1, because, you know, we sort of know what can happen in the next 8 weeks on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And so there's a lot of horses that are, you know, the favorites right now that are odds too short in this win pool, that I think they'll offer value in that exacta and that Oaks Derby future double.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you're not finding the value with a Forte or some of the others, as you say, you can look around that exacta pool, or that Oaks Derby double may get you a little more, certainly will get you a little more value. But again, shopping around, I'm going to, you know, look for a few faces in here this weekend that I think might have some intrigue going forward, but I'll look for a price. And one of them, I pulled up yesterday, a replay from the Withers going back to February 11th, and Hit Show won. And I'm looking, Hit Show is number 18 on the future pool list. And I thought this was a nice performance in the Withers for Hit Show from Brad Cox. And he was 30-1 on your morning line, but I'm looking at the live odds now, 21-1. That's still pretty good, but I'm typically shopping for maybe 25-1 or more. But I think Hit Show is a little bit intriguing, and we'll see where he winds up, because, again, this doesn't close until 6:30 tomorrow.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, you're looking, it's parimutuel, which is different from those fixed odds wagers that are being offered in sports books, you know, in Las Vegas. And so, you know, the parimutuel odds, and especially with this weekend's Tampa Bay Derby this afternoon at Tampa, you know, Tappet Trice is the, you know, obviously the big favorite in here, and he's, you know, pretty short in here, and he could get even shorter. So you're not going to lock in these longer odds if he goes and wins this Tampa Bay Derby. So it's parimutuel. You know, you mentioned the Brad Cox with Hit Show. He was very impressive. He'll have one more prep likely in the wood. And another horse that in Brad Cox camp that I'm looking at his odds that are really inflated is Verifying.
Yeah.
He ran horrible last time out. But if you just simply, you know, forgive that sort of, you know, troubled trip that he had in the Rebel, I think he's one of the more talented Brad Cox runners leading into the Kentucky Derby. And so I think he's going to show a better effort on a faster track and better conditions. He was drawn through the inside of that Rebel and got in all sorts of trouble into that early hot pace. And so, you know, I think he's a very talented colt. And if he can forgive a last race, you know, non-effort, he's, you know, in the 60-70-1 range right now, which is a very good value with this pool right now.
And Victory Formation, I'm just looking at the odds, Verifying 63-1, Victory Formation 79-1. Pretty similar scenario, tossed in a clunker last time, hence the odds. But again, you know, I always say to people, don't judge a horse on one race, good or bad.
You know, and I think, you know, gamblers are, you know, the now sort of gamblers.
Yeah.
We've seen this, you know, especially on this road to the Derby and leading up into what the odds are going to be on the first Saturday in May. Like the Bluegrass, for instance, is, you know, one of the last preps, major preps to go into the Kentucky Derby. And you always see the Bluegrass winner taking, you know, a lot of attention just because it's sort of, you know, the more recent race. Whereas, you know, horses are allowed to lose races. And it's the key as a horse player that I look at, okay, if a horse lost a race, why did they lose, and how can they rebound off of that race? And so that's, you know, I think offers a lot of value just in general of gambling on horses, but especially here in the Derby, because so much attention gets paid to the winners of these championship series races on the road to the Derby. Well, what did the runner-up and third-place finishers do that they can rebound into that first Saturday in May?
Another horse that I find a little bit interesting at the odds, 70-1 for General Jim, who again had a little bit of a hiccup and so missed the Fountain of Youth. But, you know, Shug said, got right back to training, but it just may have been not enough to get him back to the, you know, get him into the starting gate there. But again, General Jim currently 70-1.
Yeah, he's sort of that gamble, as, you know, people may have been scared because of that scratch last week. And, you know, Shug, as mentioned, you know, with a cough and, you know, a little bit of a hiccup and could be shown in the Tampa Bay Derby. Obviously, he's not in there, or the Florida Derby. And, you know, I thought he ran great when he rebounded last time out in the Swale. And he sort of seems like a horse that is, you know, just maturing a little bit more mentally. Obviously, the pedigree is there to stretch out. And so he is very intriguing, because if he would go and, say, win the Florida Derby off of that swale effort, you know, his odds go to, what, 10-1
yeah.
in the final pool of the future wager. And so, you know, you're getting, you know, 7 to 8 times greater than what they probably would be in that final future wager pool or the first Saturday in May right now.
Another horse that I think is interesting, and, you know, we talk about bettors and what they focus on, and certainly in the 21st century, I think the buyers get a lot of attention. And Litigate winning the Sam Davis, the buyer was maybe a little bit light, but Litigate sitting at 67-1. I mean, hey, it's Todd Pletcher at a price like that. I may put a couple of bucks on him.
You know, I'll tell you what, it was really difficult just pulling back the curtain on what our committee had to go through to figure out this field for this future wager. You know, usually this pool, which coincides with the Oaks wager, usually the Oaks is a lot more difficult to come up with than the Derby. And this year it was sort of switched around, and it's because Litigate is possible for the Louisiana Derby. And you look at this field, and we didn't want to include nearly the entire field for the Louisiana Derby because we knew that, you know, only a certain amount of horses that are running in that Louisiana Derby can make the Kentucky Derby. And so you sort of scan this future wager pool. There's a lot of horses that are in here that are possible for that Louisiana Derby. And what will our odds be subsequently in the Louisiana Derby? We sort of, you know, we're trying to not include 12 of them that we knew were headed there. I think we have 10 in this list, but Litigate is one of them. And, you know, if he can make a step forward speed figures wise in that Louisiana Derby, I think he is one to definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, you know that any given race, some horses will come out of it and they'll be kind of off the trail. And so when you're looking at a race like the upcoming Louisiana Derby and thinking, gee, a lot of these are going to be in there, some of them will subsequently come out and not be performed. I hadn't thought about that before. Talk a little bit about the process. How many of you sit down, and what's it like hammering out who the 39 individuals are?
You know, it's sort of like a little bit of a war room. There's, you know, myself and Darren Rogers, and we usually include the racing team of Vice President of Racing, Ben Huffman, and Dan Bork, who's the stakes coordinator and assistant racing secretary. And we go down, and we literally start off with about a set of PPs. I think this pool was about 60 horses that we, you know, sort of, you know, we know who the main players are, but we sort of had a lumping of other horses that we've been keeping an eye on. So we get the full list of PPs of 60 horses. We start off with essentially the ones that we know are going to make the pool. That's, you know, all the ones that, like a Forte or an Arabian Night. And then we literally go almost horse by horse and see who's going to take more action. Like, for example, Cagliostro, who's, you know, 99-1. Would he take more action in this pool than a horse like Dennington, who they ran against each other last time out? And so we just sort of go through that process through all these 60 horses, and then we end up with the, you know, the 39 individual interest in the pool. So it's it was really difficult, this pool, Seth, because, you know, so many of the horses aside from Forte and Arabian Night really look the same. And, you know, we have to sort of make some tough calls. And, you know, if it adds value to the field if you're playing the all others, because the all others being around 15-1 right now, that offers some value for some of the horses that we didn't use. And that were some tough decisions, but you know, that's sort of the process we go through. And some pools are more easier than others, but this one was a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I will say all others is very generous now as compared to previous years with the 40. I'm still going to take a shot, but it's a little, as I say, in the 21st century, as compared to when I was a kid, there are still those late bloomers. So I'll have some all others. Certainly at 15-1, I'm not going to be sitting on the sidelines. But again, a little more generous now than it was, given the extra number of individual entrants. Let's shift our attention now to the Kentucky Oaks. Again, that Derby pool is also this weekend. It closes again at 6:30 tomorrow. And don't forget that Oaks Derby double future pool as well. But, Kevin, I pulled up a replay going back to January of Money's Gold. 30-1 on the morning line. I'm looking at the current odds, 20-1. 20-1 on this one I still think is very interesting. A Pletcher runner that is 2-for-2. Money's Gold intrigues me quite a bit in here.
Yeah, you know, just in general, the field and that's shaping up for the Longines Kentucky Oaks on the first Friday in May is just so competitive right now because there really hasn't been a standout at this point, you know, 8 weeks out of the Kentucky Oaks. And Money's Gold is a horse that, you know, has run fast last time out, obviously sprinting, but, you know, can she take that speed around two turns? It's just such a wild card because she is a, you know, a Florida bred by Munnings and has shown, you know, that quickness early out of the gate. And, you know, what will Todd do with a filly like this? And that's a perfect option for a future wager because it really is, you know, how can she step up around two turns? And, you know, the fillies are a little bit different than the colts at this stage because I'm not sort of turned away by horses that are going, you know, maybe 7/8 of a mile or, you know, a one-turn mile, because going the mile and an eighth is a lot different than going a mile and a quarter. And so, you know, we're sort of looking at fillies that, you know, may be sprinting thus far, but having their final race around two turns, going a mile and a 16th likely, isn't that much of a stretch. And so Money's Gold is very intriguing, and she's, you know, I think going to take some play into that closing tomorrow at 6:30.
I am shocked. I think that's the right word, given what we saw in the seasonal debut from Hoosier Philly. I'm shocked the horse is 5-1. I guess I'm not super shocked. You know, as I say, you can't judge a horse on one race. But I was kind of, we talked about it. We had a handicapping show on earlier, and we were talking a little bit about Hoosier Philly. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, the buyer figures weren't spectacular, but the buzz, and Tommy Amos was just so high on the horse. I think that played into the buzz. But again, off her seasonal debut, she's the second choice currently among the individuals, with Wet Paint sitting at 7-2. But again, I'm a little bit surprised that the betting public is still 5-1 enamored with Hoosier Philly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We actually included her in the last pool in the Kentucky Derby future wager as an individual interest. In the previous three pools before that, we had an entry that was all three-year-old fillies, so you can include all of the three-year-old fillies. But we included her as just an individual interest just to sort of see how much money she would take, and she ended up going off as the overall third choice. And I think it's just, you know, the amount of attention that she garnered as a two-year-old is still bleeding over into her three-year-old campaign. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, horses are allowed to lose races, but why do they lose races? And, you know, she was, you know, finished third, but she was beaten 8.5 lengths pretty soundly last time out. And so, you know, she's one of the ones that at 5-1, she's going to have to prove it to me, and one of the ones that I'll pass on as a gambler because, you know, she didn't run well in her three-year-old debut in the Rachel Alexandra. So, but yeah, she is one that garnered so much attention as a two-year-old and, you know, even into possibly prepping for the Kentucky Derby. It's just was disappointing the way that she came back to make her three-year-old campaign and a complete wild card now leading into the Kentucky Oaks.
A horse I find kind of interesting, 20-1 on the morning line and now sits at 27-1 as I'm looking at the live odds on the Derby website, Botanical. And this one's interesting. It's Brad Cox. It's L&J Foxwoods and Company. But it's a horse that has not tried the dirt yet. The last three races were over at Turfway, won the Cincinnati Trophy, again, on the synthetic at Turfway. But 27-1, I might take a little bit of a flyer on Botanical.
She's a very flashy filly for the Cox camp. I was at the Cincinnati Trophy and watched her run, and, man, she definitely showed that she has some more gears left in her. Chris Landeros came back, and he said, hey, I only got her into second gear. She's got a lot more to go, and that's because she's going to run back in 3 weeks at Turfway. And so, you know, she's by Medaglia d'Oro, out of a Blame Mare. You would think that dirt's going to be no issues with her, and she definitely has run fast in that last race in the Cincinnati Trophy, that she's certainly proven that she's one of the faster two-turn fillies right now leading into the first Saturday in May. But the big gamble is, you know, how will she handle the dirt? The pedigree says it should be there. I don't think we'll get a test until her in the first Friday in May if she makes it there. And so she's clearly the top three-year-old filly right now in the Turfway division and could be in the country because of, you know, how easily she's been able to handle her competition, especially the last time out in the Cincinnati Trophy.
Yeah, as I say, she's over that 25-1 threshold that I like to shop for. I find her intriguing. And I'll just mention one more because I find it a little bit interesting off the seasonal debuts that Hoosier Philly is at 5-1 And Wonder Wheel is at 9-1. Wonder Wheel, I thought, had a decent little debut. It was obviously disappointing as the champion to run second, but it was a close-up second. And I would think, you know, again, comparing that one to the race from Hoosier Philly, I'm a little bit surprised the betting public is making Wonder Wheel almost double the price of Hoosier Philly.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. She's definitely the filly that I'm going to keep an eye on come tomorrow because, you know, and maybe not to win necessarily, but I think she has the most upside of any of the horses that lost their seasonal debuts. You know, she was in that race down at the Suncoast against Julia Shining, and of course they were upset by Dreaming of Snow. And I think she has a lot of upside for the Mark Cassie camp. And so, you know, if she would go and win the Ashland, you know, she's probably going to be in the 4-1 range on the first Friday in May. So you're getting double that odds right now. But I think she'll offer even greater of that in that Oaks Derby double or even in the exact in this Oaks future wager. So there's still a long way to go in the wagering. Again, the Oaks pool closes at 6:30 tomorrow night. The Derby pool closes a half hour early at 6 o'clock. And so, you know, it'll be right around the, you know, the 5 o'clock range. It's sort of like the red zone in the college, in NFL football. You know, that 3 o'clock hour is the witching hour. That'll be my witching hour where I get all my papers out. I'll get my will pays up and see what these fillies are. And then I'll make my bets right around that 5 o'clock hour tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's certainly recommended to people, and I say this all the time too, because always on these Derby Future Pool weekends, there's at least one major prep, and I always say, certainly don't bet before that's run. Get that out of the way and see what happens odds-wise with some of those horses. So, again, the Derby Future Pool is at 6 o'clock. The Oaks is at 6:30, the closing time tomorrow?
Yes, that's correct. Derby's at 6. Oaks at 6:30, and then the Oaks Derby double will close at 6:30 as well tomorrow night. That's Eastern time.
Ah, very good. And, yeah, Wonder Wheel may be an interesting one to play in that Oaks Derby double. I may take a look at that as well. Kevin, always appreciate the visit and the conversation. And, again, we were talking before we went on the air. Sounds like you're also going to be down at Gulfstream for Florida Derby weekend. So maybe we'll follow up on last year's visit and have you come over and sit in with us live a little down there, too, for some more Derby talk. But enjoyed it this morning, and we'll talk again.
Absolutely. I'm so glad when we'll be down in Florida in a couple weeks that we won't have to be bundled up in our winter jackets and we can actually enjoy the springtime weather that Florida will have to offer.
I pulled out the shorts and the bathing suit the other day. I am ready to roll. Looking forward to it. Kevin, thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck this weekend.
Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs. Again, don't forget Derby and Oaks future pools. And, yeah, that Oaks Derby double future could be fun, too. And, again, Exact is available as well. I always have a few tickets that are live going into the Oaks and Derby weekend. So keep that in mind for this weekend. Again, closing up later on the day tomorrow. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up on this edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. Yeah. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. You want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. I had pulled up a little news item to read, and now it may have to be updated. I'm not sure, but I will explain that. But jockeys Katie and Jackie Davis, sister jockeys Katie and Jackie Davis, scheduled to be headed to Camarero in Puerto Rico tomorrow for the Jockette Challenge. Jockette Challenge, according to the press release, first contested in March 2020. Didn't hold it in 2021 or 2022 due to COVID. But a total of 17 women have been invited to participate in four all-female races. I'm not sure. They say the top five finishers have a point scale. The winner is determined. I'm not sure how 17 women can compete in this type of competition, but it does say a total of 17 have been invited, so maybe they all aren't showing. But, again, some local rooting interest for us perhaps with Katie and Jackie Davis, local being their actually local products, and now riding on the New York racing scene, including Saratoga here in the summertime. Camarero, again, based down in Puerto Rico, and this competition is scheduled for Sunday. Now, I said this may have to be updated because if you were watching yesterday, I believe it was the last race. Jackie Davis was unseated as her horse came out of the gate, and it looked like she might have gotten stepped on. Well, I just kind of pulled up and looked. Jackie Davis had tweeted just earlier this morning, "I'm surprisingly doing really good after yesterday's gate incident. Little sore, got very lucky. He did make contact with my back, but as soon as he felt he was going to step on me, he quickly removed the pressure, saved me." So it seems like, and the reports yesterday, if you watch the race, it looked like, ooh, that could be, because Jackie was kind of laying on the ground for a while in the quick shot that you saw the head-on replay. But it was subsequently reported that, you know, the horse got up and walked off of its own power, and Jackie did as well. So, you know, knock wood, she's fine. Now, whether that means she's still going to compete, I don't know. We'll have to find out about that. But again, just good news that, you know, it turned out well there. Also, as I was looking at Twitter to find out the update on Jackie Davis, I saw Dave Grenig tweet. We talked earlier on the show about, or earlier today on the handicapping show, about Rob Atris. He had four wins yesterday. He has five straight going back to last Sunday. And I guess the NYRA record is eight straight wins. Not, obviously, not consecutive races, but consecutive for the trainer. The trainer may have one entered in the first race and doesn't have another one entered until the fourth race. If he wins both of those, it's consecutive wins for the trainer. So Rob Atris currently with five straight wins, having four entered today. We'll see. If he wins the first three of those, he will have the record, as it were, or tie the record. So again, there is your update on some of the news and notes, and some thoughts on Tampa for this afternoon. And again, the Derby Oaks future pools. Hopefully, we gave you some ideas that will play into this afternoon and the weekend with the future pools. I'm going to wrap things up, be back in, what are we talking, maybe an hour and a half or so to kind of kick things off on a Saturday afternoon, fun Saturday afternoon, as we will clearly have some Tampa focus with the Tampa Bay Derby, but some Gulfstream, some Aqueduct. I'll toss out some picks. I've been looking at Oaklawn every day so far, so probably toss out some Oaklawn picks on Twitter as well. But it should be a fun Saturday afternoon, particularly down at Tampa Bay Downs, as we live vicariously. I walked out of my house this morning and saw the car was covered with snow, and it was, you know, it's March, but it was a surprise. I had not paid attention to the weather, I guess. I was not anticipating having to brush off the car this morning. But again, looking forward to that trip to the Florida Derby in about 3 weeks' time. All right, Seth Merrill in the studio with Racing Across America, which we will wrap up on this Saturday morning, kicking into Saturday afternoon, as I say, probably about an hour and a half or so for a live look at the various racetracks during the afternoon. Always appreciate your tuning in. Wishing you a lot of good luck this afternoon, and we'll be back for OTB Live shortly. See you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet.
The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.